Oh man, good morning everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Living Hope. To all of us here in the room and those of you joining us online, we're glad that you're with us. We'd like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using forever, I think. The Lord be with you. Thank you. When we say that to each other, I think what I'm trying to communicate when I say that to you anyway is like, may you be aware of God's presence with you. May you be aware of the fact that the God who made you loves you and is with you and meets you right here, right in the middle of all that you have going on. If today has been a beautiful day and you were just loving the rain because it was watering everything and all of that, and your life is just great and you're just full of thanks, fantastic. God meets you in the middle of that. If this morning has been full of stress and anxiety and hurry, God meets you in the middle of that. If it's been whatever it's been for you, whatever has brought you to this moment, right now, right here, God meets us, and we can bring all of it to Him. I would love it if we could bow our heads and pray to Him as we begin. God, thank you. Thank you for meeting us here. Thank you for calling us here. You've helped us to arrive at this place, at this time, where we get to spend an hour focusing our hearts and our thoughts on you, giving our attention to the God who made us, singing to you songs of thanks and praise, crying out to you in prayer, listening for your spirit, speaking through the scriptures, gathering around the table of our Lord Jesus. Please, God, would you use everything that we do in this next hour to help us to better connect with you? Help us to have hearts, minds, lives open to you so that your grace can flood in, so that your presence, your power, your love, your faithful love can be felt by each and every one of us. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing as we begin. Are you walking daily?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship your and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. I worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship your holy name. I worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the love I've ever found like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of
there's a place where sin and shame are powerless, where my heart has peace with God and forgiveness, where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of you, I'm in awe of you, where your love ran red and my sin washed white. I owe all to you, I owe all to you.
Oh, we are so grateful to you, God, for the love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Man, as we just sang, I'm in awe of you. And God, that's true. We are in awe of this kind of love that would give all of yourself for people who were so undeserving. I mean, your word tells us that, you know, it was when we were still sinners. It was when we were wanted nothing to do with you. When Jesus, you came and you gave your all for us, seeking that lost sheep, watching for that lost child. Thank you, God. Thank you for this love that held nothing back, but came and found us. God, help us to live with an awareness of that love. Help that love to deeply impact the way that we view ourselves and view the people around us. We might see ourselves as totally loved by you, as people who are so close to your heart, people that you are passionate about. And then God, as we look around at the people around us, would you help us to realize that you see them the same way? No matter our disagreements, no matter how frustrating the relationships might be at times, no matter how hurt we might find ourselves by them, that they are still someone that you love and are passionate about, and that Jesus, you gave your all for. Oh, thank you, God, that you're a God who comes to us, who is involved in our world. You're not a God who just shouts things from the sky. You're a God who is present and active in our midst. And that means that all the different circumstances that we find ourselves concerned about today, for some it's health issues, for some it's end of life issues, God. For some it's housing, for some it's employment, for some it's relationships, God. For some it's just needing wisdom for that future and decisions to make. And God, for some of us it's bigger things having to do with like our nation or our world. God, we give you thanks for the hopeful signs. We give you thanks for those moments where it seems like good is winning, where it seems like your kingdom is breaking in. And God, we cry out to you in those areas where it seems like the opposite is taking place. where we just feel ourselves anxious or overwhelmed by what seems like the victory of evil. Remind us in those moments, God. Remind us what you did for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us a picture of him giving his life for us on the cross, giving every appearance to those who are watching that evil was winning. But God, we know that that was not the victory of evil over good. That was the victory of good over evil. Your love triumphing over sin and death and the devil. Because Jesus, you didn't stay dead. You rose. You defeated death. You defeated the devil. Your grace overwhelmed our sin. Help us, God, not to lose hope when things look bleak. But help us to put our trust in you and to follow you and the leading of your Holy Spirit as you give us the wisdom, the strength to live lives of love in a world where love is so desperately needed. Thank you, God. Thank you. We are grateful to be in your presence with your people on this day. Again, I pray that you'd help us to be open to you and open to each other too. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. Shake someone's hand, introduce yourself, or wish them the peace of Christ. Happy Sunday. All right, as everybody in the room is finishing up your handshakes and hugs and conversations, just want to say hi quick to all of you again who are joining us online. If I haven't met you, my name is Rich Schmidt. I'm one of the pastors here, and we're glad that you're with us. Those of you in the room, I hope you grabbed one of these little handouts because there's some announcements and things on there. But first, I wanted to say if there's some way that we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, answering a question for you, feel free to grab one of the little green cards back there and fill it out, drop it in the offering box, or you can go to the link on the website, or the link on the screens. That's what it is, it's screens. The website link on the screens, livinghope.info/connect. You can do that online too. And thank you to all of you who give so faithfully. If you're giving today, you can drop that in the box. You can give online. That all works. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later today. But first, I wanted to mention just the absence of our associate pastor, Judy. Has been felt last Sunday. She was preaching somewhere else. This Sunday, she is in Brazil. And she just spoke at a women's event yesterday. She's going to be preaching there today. And then coming home the end of this week, I think, right? Yeah, Friday. So lots of other ministry opportunities throughout this week. If you think of it, pray for Pastor Judy, just for God to be working through her there in Brazil and to bring her home safely to us. I look forward to hearing the stories that she has to share about the things that God is doing. So just a quick heads up. We had to postpone the Living Hope 101 that was going to take place today at noon. If you were planning to come back for that today, my apologies. But you should have told me you were coming. That's why we postponed it, because we had not enough folks. We wanted to have at least a certain number of folks to participate that it feels like you're getting to know some other people and all that. So we'll have that lined up again sometime soon in the future. But this Tuesday, there's three quick things in the back. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Tuesday, this new women's group starts. Ladies, if you're available in the afternoons and want to be a part of it, 1:00, they're going to be starting up. If you have questions about that, you can talk to Tammy. Give them a wave, Tammy. There she is. She's got books today. She can get to you. If you're interested in being a part of that, you want to talk to her today. And then Wednesday, you can grab lunch at the food truck. There's only two more Wednesdays, I think, that's going to be out there. Is that right? Yeah, two more Wednesdays, because at the end of October, they're closing it up for the season. So if you want to grab lunch and support the work of the Fresh Starts food truck, you can do that. And then Thursday night, the Joyful Noise worship event is going to be happening here again, that monthly worship night. Love to have you join us this Thursday night at 6:30, and feel free to bring a friend. I think that's all I needed to announce this morning. I would ask you too. There's a name in the prayer request underneath all those at the bottom that I want to make sure and just kind of draw your attention to real quick. Don Peters, I was just with him yesterday up at Porter Hospital Northwest or whatever that's called now. Northwest Health, Porter. Yeah, anyway, I was with him at the hospital. He's been fighting cancer for quite a while, and they've just made the decision that he's going to be entering into hospice care. So if you could pray for Don and Darlene. Some of you had been praying for them because just a month and a half or so ago, they lost one of their daughters. And now Don, he's been running the race faithfully, to use that analogy from the Apostle Paul. And he knew that at some point he's going to reach a finish line, and it looks like he's closing in on his final lap. So if you could pray for Don and for Darlene and for their daughter Dee and all of those, all of their family, that would be much appreciated. In fact, I would love it if we could bow our heads and pray for just a moment before we dive into this morning's message. God, you are good. And we are grateful that when we face circumstances, whether it's good circumstances like Pastor Judy getting to minister there in Brazil, God, we pray you'd bless her and work through her and continue to pour your grace through her into their lives like you do into ours and bring her home safely. Whether it's good things, God, or whether it's really tough things, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, God, we fear no evil, for you are with us. And we lift up Don to you and his family as he enters into hospice care. We pray that you would make your presence felt by him, by Darlene, by their family, that he would have your strength and your peace, and that your grace would continue to flow through him as well, not just into his life, to bless him as he nears the conclusion of his time here, but God, that your grace would continue to flow through him into the lives of those around him. God, we pray that for all of us, that we would experience your grace and share your grace. And we pray that you would do that for us today, that we would hear your voice speaking through the scriptures, they would receive what it is that you want to give us today, and be prepared then to share that with others. You are good. And again, God, we are grateful. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're wrapping it up. If you've been, if you're one of those folks who don't like it when the church talks about money, today's the last day. All right. I mean, obviously, money comes up from time to time because it comes up from time to time in the Bible. And so, as we make our way through the scriptures, we talk about money from time to time. But for the last two Sundays and then today, just a short little series on letting our money be on mission. If we want to be on mission, if we want to be living life as a part of what God is doing in the world. Right, letting his grace flow through us, as we were just praying, then that happens with our dollars too, you know. And many of you are so incredibly generous. It's a beautiful thing, and I believe that every one of us wants to be generous. We all want to make an impact. We want our dollars to make a difference in the lives of others. And sometimes we just struggle to know how to do that because, you know, our culture tells us it's all about us and trying to pile up a bunch for ourselves. And so we've been talking about how, well, really, this is all, it all comes from God. It all belongs to God. And so we let God tell us, you know, like, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this stuff that you've entrusted to me for this brief time? We've been looking at stories that Jesus told and looking at our favorite verse, my favorite verse. Sorry, I shouldn't put it on you. It might not be your favorite verse, but it certainly is mine. My favorite verse in the whole Bible about giving, because it takes so much pressure off. Where the Apostle Paul tells these Christians in Corinth, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I feel like Paul's trying to let them know, like, hey, guys, I want you to give. I want you to participate in this mission that he had, that he was inviting them into, of giving to help meet the needs of some folks who are experiencing famine in another part of the Mediterranean world. I want you to give and to experience the joy of that and to help these folks. But I'm not going to twist your arms about it. You give what you've decided in your hearts to give. I'm not going to try to compel you or force you to give. We're not locking the doors and passing the baskets until we finally raise enough money. You know, we're not doing that. You give what you've decided in your heart to give. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you'll abound in every good work. It's like God's going to provide for your needs and then some. Not so that you can just, you know, upgrade everything 5, 6, 7 times, but so that you can, you know, abound in every good work, so you can do good with that extra. He says, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, he's saying, as you give your gift through us to help these folks that are in need, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. So we concluded last week with this verse, it's from the chapter earlier. So we're kind of reading his letter out of order here. He says, now finish the work so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it according to your means. He said, you wanted to give, now go ahead and give. Let's do it according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. He's saying this isn't, there's not like some minimum you got to meet, like, oh, if you can't give this much, don't bother, you know, because that's the expectation that we're all going to give kind of at this level. Like, no, it's according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. If you just don't have it, don't worry. You know, you give what you can. If you're willing and you're eager to be a part of it, and you can just give a little bit, great. It's acceptable. It's good. Now, if you're somebody that's got a lot, okay, great. You and God got to talk about where that lot needs to go, because you know there's lots of opportunities to do good. So you decide in your heart what to give to this, what to give to that. You talk to God and let him guide you. But the goal definitely is not just to pile it up for ourselves. You know, Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, we looked at this before, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, man, the stuff that we accumulate and pile up and insure and take care of and give away, and all the stuff we have here, it's temporary, you know, it gets broken into. If any of you have ever had moths or vermin destroy some of your stuff, you know how frustrating that is. The boys, Jonathan and I, when you and David were out yesterday, and Jonathan and I were in the garage doing some stuff, he pulls something out, and I think, well, how's all that birdseed get stuffed into there? And I thought, oh, no, I hope we don't have mice in here. You know, so I'll put some traps out. I don't know if we do. It wasn't clear evidence, no little leave behinds that they leave. But if you've ever had that happen, like my folks, I know one time their trailer out in the shed, you know, they opened up and they went and they're like, oh, no, it's gotten into the wires and stuff's been destroyed, right? Or you've either had other things that have destroyed some of your stuff. Maybe moths got into some clothes somewhere. I don't know. You know how frustrating it can be. It reminds us that the stuff we have here and now is temporary. He says, but there's an eternity waiting for us. And if you can put your treasure there somehow, man, that lasts forever. He said something similar, or Paul said something similar to Timothy, when he was talking to people who have extra, people who could make a big difference. He says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they'll lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Our life isn't all about what's just here and now and what we can enjoy while we've got it. Well, there's nothing wrong with enjoying it while we've got it. He says we can't think only of that. We need to also be making a difference. And he says that's like putting it forward for eternity, that laying up treasure for eternity, a firm foundation for the coming age. It's an eternal difference being made with our temporary stuff. It makes a difference for your eternity and for the eternity of the people around you. It makes a lasting difference, a legacy. That's the word that's been in my head for the last few weeks as I've been thinking about this and preparing for this series, is this idea of leaving a legacy. I didn't think about it quite as much, I don't think, before we had kids, but now I'm noticing all the ways that our kids pick up on the things that we do and the things that I do, and like when I see my own foibles like developing in their lives, I think, oh no, don't pick up that from me, you know. I don't want that to be part of my legacy in your life, right? But when it comes to our stuff, you know, we're leaving a legacy with what we do with that stuff. It can make a difference that is significant. Some of you know, you help chair or lead or found organizations here in our town that make a difference in the lives of children, the lives of homeless folks, and the lives of people who are hungry, you know, making sure that people, helping them turn a corner in their lives that's significant. It makes a difference for them and for their kids and for their legacy. And all of that takes resources, right? We put our treasures into things, and that, well, like Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, our treasures and our hearts are linked. We talked about that already. Okay. In fact, this is the last kind of review passage here from Luke chapter 12, where Jesus said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. It's not about what you can, all that you can get, all that you can accumulate for yourself. It's about what you can do for others. And then he told them this parable. We talked about it last week. The guy who had an abundant harvest and didn't have room for it in his barn. He's like, what can I do? And for some reason didn't think, I can share it. But instead just thought, oh, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones so I can have it all for me. And then God said to him, I put this there in your notes, the end of it. You fool. this very night your life will be demanded from you, then who will get what you prepared for yourself? Man, we cannot take it with us. But that question at the end, who will get what you prepared for yourself, has me thinking again about legacy, you know, because each of us are going to face that question. Some of you have already dealt with it. You've already spelled it out. Well, who's going to get my stuff when I'm gone, right? What's going to happen to all this that's been entrusted to me during this brief time? And, multiple parables of Jesus refer to this. It's been entrusted to me for this brief time. I can make a difference with it here and now that'll make a lasting difference. What is that going to be? I mean, I'm going to try to do that here and now. There's a book came out a few years ago called Die with Zero. And the whole point of that one was like, don't die with a big pile of money that then your heirs have to try to figure out what to do with. I said, give it to them now. Spend it now. Experience life and, make your difference while you live. And then die with zero. Now, we can't all do that because we don't all know when we're going to die exactly or, the expenses that come right up to that moment. None of us are exactly sure. So hopefully, ideally, all of us have been saving up over the years and, whether it's Social Security maybe that's helping you through that or you've got a pension or you've got a 401k or whatever it is that you've been trying to save up to make sure that in the years when you're no longer working, you've got the resources to be able to enjoy life and not have to worry. And if that's the case, who will get what you prepared for yourself is a question that we have to answer. And that starts today. I put there in your notes just a few different practical, simple things, and then we'll look at a couple more scriptures, and then we'll be done, okay? I just put leaving a legacy starts today. And there's three different ways that people give. I'm thinking specifically now of giving to the church, right? Although this is true for other organizations you might give to as well. I mentioned past weeks, that I don't anticipate that any of you, like the church is going to be your sole, generosity outlet, right? That you give to all kinds of things, all kinds of good that's being done in our community, in our world. Stacy and I do that. We just got things from World Vision this past week for the kids that we sponsor. And we're showing the boys, oh, look, here, this kid's in Sierra Leone, and this kid is in, Guatemala. Yeah. And, here's how old they are, here's what's going on in their communities, that because we sponsor them every month, this is some of the good that World Vision is doing in the community. And we anticipate that you give to all sorts of things. But when you give to the church, some of you give occasionally, right? There are occasional gifts as you have a little extra, as you find yourself, especially when you're just starting out giving, often this is kind of the only giving that you do, right? It's like, I've got extra today, and I'm feeling like God wants me to give it. Okay, here it is. And it depends on what's in your pocket or what you happen to have. This also happens just as life happens and you find yourself you sell something and you got some money that you didn't have, or you get a bonus at the end of the year that you bigger than you expected, and you're like, oh, I've got extra that I hadn't planned on what to do. This isn't already earmarked, This isn't already good, now we can pay down that debt, that's been swallowing us for the last few years. It's like, I've got extra. Okay, what do I do with this? And sometimes then you make a gift from that to the church or to other organizations. And then some of you give consistently. I got to say, as the pastor here and our treasurer, I think Tammy would probably also agree, boy, those consistent gifts sure do help us sleep better at night, right? Because we know, they give this every month. It's consistent. We can make plans on that. We know that next month about this much is going to come in. I mean, unless something changes, but, we can anticipate kind of what our income will be because these folks give consistently. They give faithfully. And some of you set that up to happen automatically by having your bank or whatever donor advised fund, mail a check every week or month or whatever, every so often to the church, or you set it up online through the online giving thing to just happen automatically whenever your paycheck hits or whenever your monthly income hits. Some of you, you're old school and you just consistently, you bring that check in with you at church or whatever, And then there's also legacy gifts. This is what we were talking about earlier. Somebody decided these are called legacy gifts at some point, I think. Kind of that planned giving that happens as you're planning for who will get what I've stored up for myself. I've been making sure that I'm going to be taken care of, when I can't take care of myself, when I don't have income anymore. Now who's going to get that when I'm gone? And so you make a bequest in your will, or you set something up to make sure that the causes you believe in will get a portion of what you've saved up after you're gone. I've already touched on some of these, and how you can give, I just put there in your notes, in case you hadn't thought of some of these things. Obviously, cash and checks in the offering box are mailed in. We have some of you do both of those things. Nobody mails cash, thankfully. Don't mail cash, okay? But some of you mail in checks or have checks mailed, or you drop checks or cash in the offering box back there. Some of you do the online gifts from your checking accounts or credit cards. However you do that with the online giving, you can do both of those. Some of you have started doing qualified charitable distributions from your IRA. Apparently, at some point, the government says you have to take that money out. And so one way you can do that is with a qualified charitable distribution. If you have questions about that, you want to know more about that, I'll just put you in touch with some of the people who are already doing it, and they can explain it to you, all right? But that's one way you can do it where you then don't have to pay taxes on that because it's not actually income for you. So you skip the tax part, so you have more that you can give or spend or whatever it is. Some of you do a similar thing with stocks or other assets. Some of you use a donor-advised fund. Then you donate your stocks, you know, whatever it is that's earned more money now. It's worth more than it was, and if you just sell it, you got to pay capital gains tax. But if you give it away, you don't pay capital gains tax on that, and you get the full charitable deduction for the amount that it is now, not what you paid for it way back when. So if you're doing that, you can use a donor advised fund, or there's other ways to do that. If you have questions, ask away. Or estate gifts. There are things called charitable trusts. There's like lots of options. There's a Nazarene Foundation that sends me mail every now and then that says, hey, we can help you, help your folks in your church remember your church in their will or set up a trust or other kinds of things. There's stuff that pays you while you're alive and then gives the church the rest. Or there's other stuff that like gives to the church for while you're alive and then once you're gone, the rest goes to your heirs. Or there's all kinds of different things, different vehicles that you can use to give from your estate. And so if you have an estate, if your estate isn't a stack of DVDs and the TV in your house, you know, I mean, some of us, that's all we've got, you know, but if you've got money sitting somewhere that is, funding your retirement and those kinds of things, and you've got an estate you have to plan for, and you want to remember the church in that, fantastic. I'll be happy to talk with you about whatever details you need to make that happen. Or it could just be as simple as what Stacy and I did. We, a few years ago when the boys showed up, and we went and talked to somebody. We actually talked to Mitch, but I don't think Mitch does this very often, so he just kind of helped us out. He's shaking his head like, no, don't come to me for this. There's other people that can help you with your will. but as his pastor, he volunteered to help us with it. We didn't have, I don't think we had a will up to that point. So we're like, well, we need to have a will. We've got to provide for these kids and what's going to happen. And we wrote in there that, like, you know, once all this other stuff's taken care of, give, I think, 10%. I'd have to go back and look. I think it's to just give 10% of what's left to the church, you know, and named our church in there. You could do something like that if you wanted to. All kinds of different ways to give, whether it's now, whether it's giving later. And some of those gifts, I know, some of those gifts can feel really small, but they're not, okay? Jesus pointed out to the disciples one time as they were standing outside the temple and they were watching people come and bring their offerings as they entered the temple. I think they must have had a box, kind of like what we have, but you gave on your way in. And some people were making a big show about how much they were putting in. Oh, I got to stand here for a long time. Got a lot of money to put in this box, you know. And then he notices this, it's like a poor widow who puts in like 2 pennies. And Jesus says, ooh, did you see that? Did you see that? She gave more than everybody else here. They gave just, you know, extra. They got lots. They didn't even feel what they dropped in that box. But she gave, like, out of her poverty. She gave all she had. She gave a significant gift. That's how God sees our gifts. And we know that's how God sees it because that's how Jesus saw it. And when God was in the flesh watching people give, that's how he saw it. You might feel like your gift is small, but it's not. It makes a difference. And it makes a difference for you, for your heart, opening your heart toward God and toward others. It makes a difference for the people that you help. And if that's not you, if you relate more like, well, no, I'm more like those people who, like, I barely even felt that. I could increase my giving significantly and it wouldn't really make a big dent in my lifestyle. You're like, okay, talk to God about that. Maybe that's something God would have you do. Whether your gift feels significant or feels small, it does make a difference in the lives of those impacted by what you do. I just put there in the notes where you can give, and I mentioned a couple weeks ago and then again last week that I forgot to print out the church financials. There's a little stack of papers on that silver thing back there, and all it is a little section of Tammy's treasurer's report from this last month. It's the year-to-date through the end of September, what's come in and what's gone out for all these different ways the church spends money. So if you're curious, like, well, where does our money go? You can see. It's exactly what the board's going to see Tuesday when we meet. And so you can see what went out. And then you can see next to that our budget. And And you can see the difference at the bottom for how much the income has not quite matched the budget so far this year. And you can even see the percentage of, so that's like three quarters of the way through the year. And you can see that a whole bunch of the categories are like, yep, right about 75%. You know, we've been spending just what we planned to spend, just what we thought we would. And at the very bottom, like the total of what we spent so far this year is like 76%, maybe 75%. It's real close. So your church board is doing a good job of making sure that we, you know, stick to our budget. Our income hasn't quite met that so far this year. And so that's what I put there in your notes, just because I want you to know this is your church. I want you to know what's going on. You can give to the general fund, which is the vast majority of the ministry we do comes out of the general fund. And so far this year, we're about 30 grand behind our budget, which is a little scary, but that's where we are. And then the building fund, oh, this is actually kind of exciting. Some of you give to the building fund specifically to help take care of the building, right? Or to make new opportunities possible for us when those arise. At this point, last year, you guys gave significantly to help us purchase that little retail building out there. And that's good. That's basically paying for itself at this point. The tenants are paying the mortgage and all of that. They're paying the mortgage and all that. I'm not going to go into those details. I haven't talked to them yet. Anyway, I got to stop myself. All right. We're talking with them about some changes that are going to happen there, and I'm going to make sure that it can cover all the repairs and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, but the building fund for needs here, we actually had an exciting opportunity pop up this past year. There was a grant. It's a matching type grant from a group called Congregations with Community, for congregations that work with community organizations. And like, well, we do a lot of that. We work with lots of folks to do stuff. And the one that seemed to fit the grant opportunity best was our partnership with Community Change Center and the food truck. And Sam is traveling right now, or I'd have her come up and say a little bit about it. But it ends up being a grant. They're giving us $100,000. Now that, unfortunately, cannot be used for our general fund stuff. But what that is making possible is some significant upgrades to our kitchen, so it'll be more useful in our partnership with them. And I think 30,000 of it is what's going to be used by us as a church for capital upgrade type things, with kitchen and some storage, that stuff. All right, 70,000 of it's going to go toward programming to help folks who are coming out of incarceration that Community Change Center is working with. And there are some fun opportunities connected with that that'll impact us too. Some neat educational opportunities that we'll get to be a part of that I look forward to telling you more about. But you might remember I said it was like a matching fund type thing. The church is responsible to give a certain portion toward that. And what we're responsible for is about $13,000 that we need to come up with for our portion of it so that they can give us $100,000. Well, $30,000 for us. So it more than doubles what we're giving, almost triples what we're coming up with that directly benefits our church. And then, like I said, some of that $70,000 is going to benefit us as well as we learn more about our neighbors and how we can serve them. So if you want to give to the building fund, you can do that. And if you want to help us give to meet that what we need for that matching grant, fantastic. We would love that. If you're giving online and you notice the little drop down, like, oh, what can I give to? There's lots of different things under there. You can give to Habitat. You can give to our homeless neighbors specifically, or to First Contact, the Good Neighbor Fund, for folks outside of our church who just need help with different things. You can give if you're like, I want my giving to go to that. General fund, Pastor, that pays Pastor Rich's salary. Forget him. I want to make sure that it goes to, you know, the community or whatever. You can give directly to that other stuff, all right? I joke about that because I know you guys love me and do your best to take care of me. So anyway, but Acts 4 is like a little confusing perhaps. If you read Acts chapter 4, that's where you read about people bringing gifts, that they'd sell some property and they knew there was a need and they'd sell property and they'd give it to the apostles and the apostles would distribute it to people in the church that had needs. And so that's what some of you have done with that Acts 4 fund, is you said, I want this specifically to help some of the folks in our church who might need help with, you know, maybe they're really struggling and need help paying for that storage unit for a month so it doesn't get locked up and sold and they lose everything they've got. You know, or maybe it's helping them make their rent this month, or it's helping them with some other thing. The Acts 4 fund is specifically to help people in our church family who are connected to us here at Living Hope to help them get their needs. If you want to give to that, you can give to that. Or you can look at all the other things there, just hit a little drop down and read the descriptions, and you can see some of the other designated things. Hey, those are some of the places you can give, ways you can give. I mentioned this verse last week, but I didn't read it. And then somebody afterwards said, well, you know, that is the part that says the test me in this part. You really should. Okay, fine. All right, fine. We'll read it. I left out the whole part about robbing God. You can read that. That comes before this part, all right? The idea that you're robbing God if you don't fully tithe and give that first tenth back to him. But here's God is challenging his people through the prophet Malachi, urging them to return to him. They're like, well, how do we return? And God's like, well, you could actually, you know, do this part. And he mentions bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse. He's referring to the temple, bringing the whole tenth, that first tenth of their harvest into the storehouse. I think I mentioned last week that that would feed the priests, that would feed the needy who had come. It also just made sure that the worship of the people, of the nation, for them, could happen like God wanted it to happen. He said, bring that whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And it is the only place in the Bible where God invites us to test him. A lot of other places said, hey, don't put the Lord your God to the test. Don't test God. You know, but he says, no, test me in this. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields won't drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. And I know some of you have found this to be true, because you tell me stories, you know, about how when you began tithing, or when you began giving to God like you knew God wanted you to give, that God was faithful, and he provided. Romeo was just telling me a story about this the other day. Do you want to tell them real quick that story? He had told them to me before, and then as I was starting this series a couple weeks ago, he's like, hey, if you want me to tell that story, I'd be happy to. So, yeah, that story about, well, you tell it. I won't.
Hey, everybody. I was telling Pastor, so back in the summer of 2022, I know some of you know this, I talked about it a little bit before, where I woke up one morning, and the company I was working for folded overnight. We were a government company, and the government had pulled funding, and so literally, I woke up, and they said, hey, we folded last night, severance checks in the mail, good luck. A little bit before that, I had just moved from Colorado back to Indiana, and I had, you know, paid for that myself, and it cost a lot to move across the country, and so most of my savings were tapped, and then woke up and had no job. And so I had talked to my wife, and we took everything we had, what was left in our savings, the severance check, 401k, everything. And my plan was, you know, pretty much just try to stop bankruptcy from happening. And unfortunately, we ended up going through bankruptcy. But I had put all of our money in folders and going through bankruptcy, and I said, okay, this is the money we have. I had no jobs lined up, nothing. I'm like, okay, this is what money we have. This will pay the bills until we can kind of figure it out. Well, I was up, you know, when you don't have a job and you got a family, you know, you got plenty of time to pray. So I was praying at about midnight, just because everybody was asleep and I had to get real with God. I was worried. And I felt God tell me, do you trust in me or do you trust in those envelopes? I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. I had stopped giving. So I'm like, okay, God, really, really breaking it down. What do I owe? Give me a number. What do you want me to give? And I felt like the Lord had put a number on my heart. And so I'm going through these envelopes and pulling money out, and it's just apparent. It's like, if I give this, we don't pay the bills. I don't know what's going to happen. And but God had put that on my heart. So I was like, okay. So I came to the pastor the next day, and he had already known really what was going on. And I said, hey, this is what I got to give. Can you pray over it and pray over me? Because I'm going to give it, and we're not really sure what's going to happen after this. Well, I'd given it away, and I had this car for sale because, like, you know, we need money. So I'm selling this car, and anytime you sell a car, at least in my experience, someone is always going to talk you down, you know, and so I'm like, okay, well, even if they talk me down, and it's at least something to try to scrape by. Well, 2 days after I'd given this money to the church, someone came through and they didn't haggle with me. They paid full price for the car, which was just enough to get us through all the way up till I started my new job and to where my first paycheck had landed. That money had finally ran out. And it was just like, thank you, Jesus. But I really, like I said, you know, God told me, you have to give this. And like Pastor had mentioned, you know, it's you know, where it says, test me. I'm like, okay, God, we're going to give it, and this is the test. You know, are we going to make it, or are we gonna you know, lose it? So, and God showed up, so.
Thanks, man. Yeah. Yeah, and that's one of several stories like that that I've heard from many of you and from others of God's faithfulness. When it was Romeo talking to God, deciding in his heart, and talking with his wife, them deciding in their hearts what God wanted them to give, and then giving that. It wasn't me coming to him saying like, "Hey, Romeo, you know you haven't given anything in a while." I hadn't even noticed. You know, I wasn't aware. I don't pay that much attention. But he was like, "Oh yeah," he was talking to God, and they figured out what they needed to give, and they gave it. And God was faithful. There's one last verse before we pray and celebrate communion together and before we go. It's again from 2 Corinthians. I love that whole section when it comes to what the Bible says about giving. The Apostle Paul is saying to these Christians, look, since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we've kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. And I love that picture. It's like, man, I don't want to just hit the bare minimum. I'm like, okay, God, I'm doing exactly, you know, I'm scraping by with generosity. Like, I want to excel in that grace of giving, because it's a grace. It's God's grace flowing through you to impact the world around you, to impact the people around you, people with real needs. So yeah, I want us to excel in that. I want us to be excellent at it. I want us to feel all of the joy that comes with cooperating with God in giving to meet those needs, in giving to see his mission accomplished here in the world. So, and I want that for you too. I want all of us to excel in that grace of giving. So, like I said, we don't do guilt trips. We don't twist arms here. But if you have more questions about the church and what we do with the money that you give here, I wish I'd had time. I didn't ask her ahead of time, so I'm not going to make her get up. But Tammy, our treasurer, has worked with multiple other churches in the past on the financial side of things, and it was in a recent board meeting that she was just saying, man, I love giving to this church because you guys are responsible with the money that we give. You're not blowing it on silly stuff, and you're not, you know, you're not blowing through budget plans and stuff. She says, I enjoy giving to this church. That made me feel good. I'm glad that we are being responsible with what all of us, my wife and I included, give to this church to see Christ's mission accomplished here and around the world. So let's bow our heads and let's pray to him. God, thank you. Thank you for being so generous in your love toward us. We cannot outgive you, God. You have given us everything that we have, and you've given us everything that you have. Thank you, God. Thank you for entrusting this world, this creation, and a portion of that to each and every one of us. God, you know we've got the whole spectrum present in this congregation. Folks who have what feels like less than nothing, and folks who have way more than enough. Thank you, God, that for each of us, you guide us. You give us wisdom. You speak to each and every one of us about what generosity needs to look like in our lives, how we can be generous with our time, with our talent, with our treasure, how we can be generous toward others and keep an open heart, eyes open to the needs around us. Thank you, God, that we get to work together as your church to do this work. God, I thank you for those who continue to give so faithfully to support the work that we do here and around the world. God, we're trusting, just like Romeo was trusting, and you came through for him, we're trusting that you come through for us, God. That as we continue to trust and follow you, that you'll guide us and give us wisdom and you'll provide to meet our needs. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for being faithful. we truly cannot outgive you, God. We thank you for this sacrament where we get to celebrate that each and every Sunday, this sacrament of Holy Communion, where we offer to you these just simple gifts of bread, of juice. And we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, you took bread and you gave it to your disciples. You said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." And so we do. We remember, Jesus, that you held nothing back, but you gave all of yourself to us, for us. And what we did with your gift is beyond shameful. We put you to death. We rejected you, Jesus. And sure, maybe none of us were standing in the crowd that day shouting, "Crucify him." But God, you know that when we're honest with ourselves and we think back at our own lives, we, each and every one of us at different times, have pushed you away, pushed you aside, rejected what you had for us. We don't want that to be true anymore. We want to receive all that you have to give. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving your all for us, so that by your death and resurrection, you could break the power of sin and death and set us free. We don't have to be weighed down by guilt or shame. We don't have to be defined by our past failures. Instead, we can be forgiven by you, embraced by you, adopted as your sons and daughters, changed from the inside out by your Holy Spirit into a people who live lives of generous love. Thank you, God. Thank you. We offer ourselves to you today, acknowledging our need of your grace. We've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We've not always been trustworthy with what you've entrusted to us. And God, you know there's other things in our lives that right now maybe you are pointing something out. Might have nothing to do with this morning's message, but there's some sin in our life that you've had your finger on for a while, and today's the day where we just need to say, "Okay, God, you're right. I need to give that up. I need to acknowledge that as sin, as destructive, as selfish. I need to turn from it and turn to you and receive your grace and your mercy, your healing, your forgiveness." Thank you, God. Your word tells us that because of Jesus Christ, when we find ourselves in need of your grace and mercy, we can confidently come to your throne of grace and find it. So we come to you today, thankful for your grace, thankful for your mercies that are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. When we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So today, would you help us to have a sense that our sins are washed away? Would you help us to have a sense that we are filled with your Holy Spirit and guided by you into the beautiful life you created us for? We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup, and eat it, and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. Doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what your life has been up to this moment. If today you are hungry for his grace, grateful for his love, then you're invited to come to the table of Christ and receive it. We've got the regular little pieces of bread. We've got the round gluten-free wafers. And we've got the individual cups. And I know some of you guys pick those up in the basket on the way in because that works better for you. We just want to make sure that everyone has a chance to participate. So let's celebrate and let's give him thanks.
with a grateful heart, give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks unto the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say,
We do give you thanks, God, once again, for the amazing love you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Again, I pray, fill us with the Spirit of Christ. Change us from the inside out, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and feet, as your sons and daughters, sharing with others the same grace that you have poured into our lives. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.